Good morning. Am I coming through? Can you hear me? Is it getting better? Good. What a great group of guys. Wow. Just to share again about what the material from Encourage Men. We're on lesson 21. If you're looking for it in your book, I think it's lesson 21. We actually jumped ahead just a few lessons because of the snow. Anthony was going to begin the Man and His Wife, I believe is the title, 1 and 2. He was going to begin that last week and finish it up next week, but since we got weather last week, why, we're going to move that forward, and I'll be sharing about the 25 ways of a servant leader. John, thank you for showing us, modeling to us, a servant leader as you take your family to Ghana. I'm blessed. I want to say thank you. And thanks for your part. We're already missing him. Just Jay and I were talking about it yesterday. Some of the things that he took care of behind the scenes. We're realizing how much that was. And John, thank you. Over the last number of weeks, we've been looking at the wounds of men that we suffered. Probably starting early in childhood, we were talking about the healing, those wounds, and then when we talked about biblical manhood. This morning we want to talk about how a man fleshes this out in his life. 25 ways to be a servant leader in our marriages. There we go. If you're single here this morning, you can listen in and you can get some ideas probably as to how you can connect with your wife somewhere down the road here if God has it for you. As I was preparing this, I just want you to know too that I have not achieved in all the 25 areas, all right? And I'm still working on that. And I'll have a little bit more about that probably later. We want to think about two equals with different functions. Must remember that at the core of marriage, there are two equals and different functions. Emerson Eggerichs, I think, says it like this, that we are different, but not wrong. All right. If you ever read the Love and Respect book or watched the DVDs, he talks about how that we are different, but it's not wrong. We're different, but we're equal. And we have different functions. And so in a husband and wife relationship, we're talking about a servant leader, someone who leads out in his family, not as a dictator, not as someone who lords over, but actually walks alongside of his family, walks alongside of his wife as a servant leader. This is a very vital role in marriage for interaction as a husband and wife and children when they're in the home and for launching a healthy next generation. Can you imagine the hurt and pain when this core role leaves the home or is unhealthy in the relationships? That could be some of you perhaps here this morning. When the servant leader isn't the leader and the wife has to take charge and the wife has to move ahead, I think it's either coming up or we, do we go through the over bonded mother wound already? Okay. And I was just talking with some people last night and we were talking about when the wife has to step in and she has to lead. And how that creates men that want to be nurtured, all right? Rather than being leaders, there are men that want to be nurtured. And so the unhealthy relationships between a husband and wife, where the husband is not the servant leader as God has designed him to be. The man's role is summarized in the word head. And let's just think a little bit about this. The wife, she is somewhat the rescuer, thinking of it in terms of a rescuer. Where do the children go to when they had an accident in the snow, like you saw here in the videos here just a bit ago? Do they go to the dad or do they go to the mother? Where did you go? Don't remember? You went to mom. Yeah. She's the nurturer one. She's the one that nurtures. She's the one that puts the band-aids on the wounds. She's the one that, when there's soul pain, she's the one that soothes. You know, sit down here beside me, Johnny, and, you know, just pats you on the shoulder and just talks to you. And she's the one that comes to the rescue. Often when there's hurt and when there's pain. And that is the role of a wife, a nurturing role of care and support. Well, the husband, he's the head. He has a leadership role of courage and responsibility. There are four needs of a woman in a marriage relationship. And here they are. Companionship. She needs a friend that she can share deeply with in relationship. Women are strong relational creatures. God designed them that way. They're designed to nurture and to be nurtured. Something else that a woman is looking for in a marriage and a husband as someone who's leading out in her life is a sense of security. She needs to know that she is safe in her relationship with her husband, including finances. I tell couples still when I sit with them and I begin to find out that he has secrets, things that he never tells her. No secrets. No secrets in a marriage. If your wife wants to feel secure, one thing that she wants to know from you, one thing that she wants to hear from you, is that you have nothing hid from her. And I can think of relationships, or particularly in finances, some areas where all of a sudden the wife found out that they were bankrupt. And as far as she knew, everything was okay. He would appear as though he has his finances under control, and only to discover that he had made some investments outside of her knowing it, and they lost everything. And I have to think, you know, I have to put myself in that wife's shoes. The kind of shock that, you know, must engulf her as she learns that what she thought was secure is not secure. And so I tell wives, I tell men and women, husbands and wives, that no secrets, no secrets. You're an open book to your spouse. You're an open book to your wife. You're an open book to your husband. And no secrets between husbands and wives. And so in a sense of security, that is something that your wife is looking for and needs from you. She also needs significance. She needs to know that she's valued. Lots of praise and honor from her husband. And I think I'll have a little more about that later. She is the most important person in your life. And I would ask you that question. Is your wife the most important person in your life? Well, one of the things that your wife is looking for from you is significance. And the last one, the fourth one, is be emotional responsiveness. Your wife needs to, you know, she needs time with you. How many of you ever been to Cracker Barrel? All right. You like those rocking chairs out front? I do. I tell couples still that what you need is a pair of those rocking chairs, and you need back porch time. Get yourself a pair of rocking chairs for the summertime. We have a small porch in the back of our house, and I just love to sit out there in the summertime when it starts to cool down in the evening, and my wife and I can just sit out there and we can talk. What happened during the day? Talk about the things that are important to us, and just talk about life in general. I love it. And it takes time, brothers. It takes time, friends, to be able to carve out time where you and your wife can sit down and talk together, spend time together, talk about the things that matter. Remember, no secrets. No secrets. She needs to hear from you that I love you. Not like the man who's told his wife, I love you, on his wedding day. And if that ever changes, I'll tell you. No, They need to hear that often, over and over and over again. They need to be here and assured that you love them. Well, summarizing the needs of your wife, she needs a servant leader to be the head as a servant leader. You're given the noble responsibility, men. It is also a noble adventure. I like to say the responsibility brings an adventure with it. Did you know that when you married your wife, you married three people? Did you know that? You married the one who you thought she was. You also married the one who you discovered she was. And you also married the one who she's going to become. Now, the interesting piece about that is you can't do a lot about who you thought she was. And you probably can't do a whole lot about who she is, but you have a tremendous amount of impact in who she becomes. Amen? Amen. You have a tremendous amount of opportunity, a tremendous amount of responsibility in helping to shape her and to form her into who she becomes. You have a large impact on her. I said you've been assigned a noble adventure. Oh, yes. It's both thrilling and terrifying all at the same time. About the time that you figure out who she is, she's going to change. I believe that's why it's Peter that says that live with your wife in knowledge. I'm always learning to know my wife. I'm speaking at a church on Sunday morning, and I was going through my notes, and I discovered in it that I make a reference to the chalk drawing that my wife is doing. And I forgot it was in there. So I said, this is 4:30 in the morning now. Get this. This morning I said to her, I said, you know, I was going through my notes, and I said, I discovered that I referred to a chalk drawing that you're doing. She said, well, it's too cold in the garage for me to practice. I said, I'll bring the big gas heater along home from the Ephrata. And I said, if you were one of our children, that wouldn't work. And so I left to go with that. And just before I left, she said, bring the heater along. All right. You know, it's an adventure. It's an adventure. So I think what she's telling me is that she might do a chalk drawing on Sunday morning. Well, we have 25 ways to be a servant leader. We'll have to move through this rather quickly because it's a rather daunting task to try and get through all this. Are you up to the challenge? I hope so. One word of caution. Don't try and do all of these 25 at one time. I was going to say kill yourself. That's not quite the way I want to say it, but I'm saying you're going to be exhausted, and your wife is going to be inundated, all right? A servant leader includes his wife in envisioning the future. If you're a servant leader, you're taking your marriage relationship and your children, or I should say you're taking your marriage relationship and your children from somewhere, I mean from the past to somewhere. And for you as a servant leader to be able to bring your children along on what you are envisioning for them in the future, the question I would ask you is, where are you taking them? Do you know? Someone has said that he who rarely misses, who has no target to shoot at. All right. If you don't have a target to shoot at, you're probably going to miss, and probably don't have much to be targeting for. What are your hopes and dreams for your children? What are your goals you want to achieve in your marriage? You may need to take some time off and get away and talk about it. I just got a call yesterday, and somebody wanted our set of DVDs from Love and Respect. And what he was doing, he was taking him, his wife, and his family to a cabin last evening, today, and tomorrow. And what they're doing is going through the Love and Respect series, just spending time with the family. All right? I'm just saying sometimes, friends, in order to accomplish building vision for your family and having them included, it takes time. It takes work. You need to set special time aside so that you can have a goal that you're working for. Does that make sense? You got to invest if you want to take your family on a setting goals for the future. A servant leader accepts spiritual responsibility for the family. Men, you're called to be the pace setter of your family spiritually. I've had many men tell me, my wife is a spiritual one in the family. And I see that sitting with couples. She's the one that's reading the book. She's the one that has her personal time in the morning with the Lord. She's the one that's doing the praying for the family. And we men get up in the morning, head off to work, and are engaged in work through the day and come home. We're exhausted. We're tired. And we don't take time, personal time for ourselves. And the wife is often, it's often a case I discovered where she is the one that is the spiritual one in the home. You're to be the one to be discussing the importance of spiritual things in the home. You're the one who should be growing into the deep things of God. That when it comes to making decisions, you have a spiritual perspective and a foundation to lead from. It takes courage, men. It is your responsibility to be a servant leader in the spiritual events of your home. A servant leader is one who is willing to say, I am sorry and forgive me to his family. Why is it so hard to say, I am sorry? Or maybe, even more, why is it so hard to say, I am sorry, I was wrong? And can I suggest one more? Why is it so hard to say, I am sorry, I was wrong, and I will try not to do it again? Not this past December, this December a year ago, I was in a women's prison, and I don't know, 100 women out that day. And so my wife and I did a little role play. And I played out how I was at work and, you know, I wasn't going to go to the ball game that night. I was going to go with my wife to her family, but they needed a pitcher. The pitcher, normally, the regular pitcher couldn't be there. And I'm number two pitcher, all right? So can you imagine that? But anyway, that was a role play. And so they called me and said, can you be there? I mean, if you're not there, we'll have to forfeit the game. We couldn't afford that. We're in the running for the playoffs, so we can't afford to forfeit a game. So I said, okay, I'll go. I go home. My wife's all packed up. She's all ready to go, has all the children ready to go to the family, her family, for a picnic. And what do? I walk and I say, oh, honey, I forgot to tell you. I didn't get you called in time. I can't go along. I got to go play ball. Then I asked the women to all stand up, and I said, now, if I tell my wife that I'm sorry, you know, if that's good enough for you, sit down. One, two, three, I don't know, very few. I said, well, if I would tell my wife I'm sorry, I was wrong in what I've done, would that be enough? A few more sat down. Then I said, well, if I would tell my wife that I'm sorry, I was wrong, I would try not to do this again. I'd say 90 of them said, 90 said, I said, tell me something. Why? Why was not, I'm sorry, I was wrong, good enough? You know, why was that enough? Not enough. You know what they told me? They said, we've heard it over and over and over and over again, I'm sorry. But they never changed. What we're really looking for is change. And I'm just here to tell you, friends, that your wife is looking for change. In fact, if you're honest with yourself, when someone comes to you and asks for forgiveness, one of the things you're looking for from them, unconsciously, is that there's a difference. They're not going to do it again. Amen? Amen. I'm just saying, friends, a servant leader is one who says, I'm sorry, and asks for forgiveness from his family, and commits to change. That's not in your books. Number four, servant leader discusses household responsibilities with his wife and makes sure that they're fairly distributed. Well, men, like I said earlier, when you come home from work, probably one of the things that happens so often to us is we want to eat supper, and then what? I think most of your vehicles, between reverse and drive, there's an N. And it means neutral. You're not going anywhere, all right? And then so often that's what happens. We come home from a hard day's work. We come home from all the stresses that we encounter during the day, not disregarding the fact that she's had her stresses too, particularly if there's young children in the home. And we want to eat supper, sit down to a good meal. It's supposed to be ready when we get there, and a good supper. And then we want to kick back, pick up the newspaper, whatever, and kick back and just say, and let the world go on for a few hours without me. I'm saying, friends, a servant leader is one who discusses household responsibilities and becomes involved in the household responsibilities so that they are, remember, we're equals. We're equals, but we just have different responsibilities. And there's things that you can do for your wife. Some time ago, we had somebody in our home, and I remember I picked up my cup and plate and utensils and whatever is up my wherever I ate with, and I picked them up and took them over to the sink for my wife. And it was a child, and this child said, "Wow, my dad never does that for his mother." And there was this message: what can you, how can we share out the responsibilities in our homes? A servant leader is one who discusses household responsibilities with his wife and makes sure that they're fairly distributed. Now, that means include the children too. Include them in the chores that need to be done at home. A servant leader seeks a consultation of his wife in all financial responsibilities, all major financial responsibilities. A banker, in fact, he's here somewhere in the church that I attended a few years ago. I remember him saying, getting the mic one time and sharing time, and he said, "Men, teach your wives how to take care of a checkbook." What had happened, a husband passed away, I guess rather unexpectedly, and all of a sudden his wife didn't know where the money was at, she didn't even know how to write out a check, she didn't know how to keep a checkbook, and what we're saying is a servant leader is one who teaches his wife how to maintain the financial responsibilities. What's all in the safe, talk about what's all in the safe. Talk about where your investments are. Talk about where your indebtedness is. Explain all those kind of... I know she probably doesn't want to know all that stuff. But you know what? If you would happen to all of a sudden pass off of the scene, she's going to be mighty, mighty grateful that she has some awareness of where things are and what was happening. Might even save her from some shocks. Of some things she might find out that she doesn't even know. So a servant leader is one who is in consultation with his wife with all major responsibilities, particularly in making loans and liabilities and things like that. Make sure that she's included. And as a servant leader, you make those decisions on a sound biblical foundation. All right? And I'll be talking about finances sometime later here. So, number six, a servant leader will follow through with commitments he has made to his wife. His word to his wife is extremely important. Keeping your commitment will build trust with your wife. Be sure to follow through on your commitments. I do some phone counseling, and I have there's a pastor in another state who calls me periodically, monthly. Usually we chat on the phone for a while and just talk about his clients and how to work through some things, that kind of stuff. Anyway, he told me he has a family in his community. They moved to his community from Canada. And before they moved, they had a children's playhouse. That's what it was, a child's playhouse in the back where the children just loved to spend time in. And she said she wants to move that along. Well, he said, that's pretty, it's wide, it's going to be, we'll have to have permits to move it, and that, et cetera, et cetera. He said, "I'll tell you what, when we get to the States and we get settled in, I will build one for our children." Well, that sounded pretty good. And then there was also a bell, one of these old school bells they had out front. I guess they used to call the family together for lunch or whatever. And she said, you know, that bell was my grandfather's. It had some kind of sentimental value to her. And she said, let's take that along too. And he said, well, it's really heavy. It's kind of big, you know, da-da-da-da. And he said, I'll tell you what, when we get to the States, we get settled in, I will get you one. They're here 3 years, and guess how many child's sheds they got and how many bells she got? 3 years. None. We're saying this morning, a servant leader is one who, when you make a commitment to your wife, you'll follow through. Now, if that wife can't trust him for a play child shed and can't trust him for a bell, what can she trust him for? Amen? Yeah. A servant leader is one who keeps his commitments that he's made with his wife. A servant leader anticipates the different seasons of marriage that life passes through. He understands that marriage has seasons and that there will be changes. Now, from wife and I, did I hear something? We've been married, no children, just the two of us. And then that's the first stage. And then the next stage is when the children begin coming and we have children in the home where there's children to take care of. And then after a while, and this goes fast, let me tell you, I know most of all you guys here are young, but I'm going to tell you, right, Ernie, this goes fast. It doesn't take long for this to happen. And then they start marrying and start leaving the nest. And that's another stage. And the last stage is where we're going to be here by November. Our daughter just got engaged, our last child, our daughter just got engaged here a couple weeks ago. And a wedding planned for November. And then we are going to be in the empty nest time of our life. Children all gone. You know what? That all happened in just a little over 40 years. Now, when you're at this stage of the game, looking back, I'm telling you, it doesn't take long. You move through the stages. Are you aware of the stage that you're in now? And have you planned for that? Have you anticipated the difference this is going to bring? When our daughter gets married in November, you know, my wife and I talked about it. We kept a bedroom for her. She's not at home a lot. She works at Camp Andrews, and she's been in a lot of other places. But we always kept a bedroom for her because we wanted her to feel that she's always welcome at home. But you know what? After November, that single bed's probably going to come out. We're going to put a double bed in, and we're going to now have a guest room. That's the season of life that we're in, friends. And have you anticipated the changes in the seasons of life? The other Sunday, I came home from church and she was making lunch, and so I set the table. And I don't know what it was, friends. I don't know what it was. But I set two plates down, two sets of silverware, cup for water, napkin, and I stepped back. All of a sudden, it struck me. At least there's still two plates. After 41 years of marriage, heading toward 42, I am so thankful this morning that there's still two sets of plates. Are you aware of the season of life that you're in, where your marriage is at? A servant leader is aware and anticipates the differences. A servant leader anticipates the different stages his children will pass through in life. When our youngest daughter was born, our oldest child was 15. Now, the difference between a newborn and a 15-year-old is quite different. And a servant leader is one who recognizes the different needs of children at the different stages they're in. In other words, what my son needed and what my older daughters needed was something quite different than what our youngest daughter needed. And the thing about all this is that this is all happening simultaneously. It's not like you go through it a stage at a time, all right? But it's all happening simultaneously. And a servant leader is one who is aware of the needs of his children in the moment, at that particular point in time. He's aware of the stages, the different stages his children pass through. A servant leader frequently tells his wife what he likes about her. Did you tell your wife at an unsuspecting time, I love you? I appreciate this about you. Your words of love and affirmation energizes your wife, and she will be empowered to honor you. Not like the man who, I said earlier, he told his wife on his wedding day, I love you if I ever changes. I have to tell you something. I was really touched last night. We were together as a Martindale district, and after we're done with our business piece, we move into groups to pray. And we start talking about our wives. And I just want to throw something out here, friends. I don't know everybody here. I don't know all of you. But I would suspect that most of your wives appear much differently in public than what most women do. I would suspect that your wife dresses very modestly. And I would expect that your wives have a symbol or have something that indicates that they're willing to be under the submission of your husband just like God ordained it. Are you with me? Have you told her how much you appreciate that? We need to affirm our wives and our daughters how much we appreciate the fact that they're willing to be different because they're following the scriptures. They're following God's design. Amen? We as men assimilate, so often we assimilate into society. We don't look that much different than the rest of the men around us, do we? And so we kind of fit in, but our wives do not. And I just want to say it again. Our wives need to hear from us how much we appreciate that they're willing to be the example, a godly example in the world in which we live today. I'm saying a servant leader frequently tells his wife what he likes about her. A servant leader provides financially for his family's basic living expenses. And notice how it's worded. Basic living expenses. We're not talking about all the frills, all the kind of things that we'd like to have. We're talking about we provide for the basic needs of the family. And not all the extravagance and those kinds of things. The people that we want maybe others to notice. Your wife will respond with admiration and trust when she feels financially cared for. And again, I just mentioned, notice it says the basic needs of the family. The basic needs of for living. A servant leader deals with distractions so he can talk with his wife and family. And I don't know about you. That means maybe you have to lay the newspaper down. That maybe means you have to stay away from the computer, get away from the internet, or whatever you use as a source of information. It may mean you have to lay down that book that you're reading, that you just pulls you in and you just want to read some more. No, it means that you have to lay that down sometimes. You need times when it's just quiet around the house so you can talk. You need time to date your wife. Again, I go back to those Cracker Barrel rockers, and I tell you, you just need a pair of rockers to sit together sometime and be able to just to share, just to date your wife. You need to ask good questions. You know, how are you doing? And she says, oh, I'm doing fine. Then you say, well, now how are you really doing? You know, get below the surface. Let her know that you really, 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 really care about her heart, what is really going on in her life. A servant leader prays with his wife on a regular basis. I know most men feel intimidated praying with their wife. I don't know quite why that is, but we do. Something about praying audibly, out loud, praying for our wives, praying over a meal. We just, somehow we went, we're the silent of the land, I guess, our German background. But there's something about praying with your wife. I would say this too. There's something about having tears with your wife as well. I really believe if you have your wife's heart and she has your heart, there's going to be times that you're going to be praying together. There's going to be times you're going to be laughing together. And there's going to also be times that you're going to be crying together. Open your heart to your wife. And there's something about praying together where we open our heart to God and also open our heart to our spouse. It's a way to communicate, but sometimes some of the deep things that are stirring in our heart, okay, by being able to pray together and to do that regularly. Number 13, a servant leader initiates meaningful family traditions. Now, there are a number of things that you probably do as a family. Go on vacations, go camping, go, you know, doing things like that. But what do you do when your children get to be 20, 25? What are things that they're going to say that they remember? This is something we always did as a family. It's your family tradition, not grandpa's, not dad's, not the Hoovers or the Martins or the Zimmermans or whatever. But this is your family. Things that you do as a family. For us, one of those things was that when the children's birthday was, we went out to Dairy Queen and we got Dairy Queen ice cream cake. And our third daughter got married on her birthday. And after the meal was over, we brought in a Dairy Queen ice cream cake to celebrate her birthday. I'm just saying, what are things that you do as a family this is what you do? It's not tailored after someone else. It's some of the tradition that you've established in your family. Things that you do with your children, things that you do with your wife, things that are special to you, that years down the road, they're going to say, you know, I remember that. And it might be some of the most minute things. Doesn't have to be anything extravagant. Doesn't have to be anything big. But this is something that you as a family do. 14, a servant leader plans fun outings for the family on a regular basis. Now we're talking about doing things, not just the traditional kinds of things, but just the kind of things that are fun with the family. For us as a family, we enjoyed camping. And we did a lot of camping. And then the children got to be about 18, 20, somewhere along there. And well, they had other things to do. They had friends to go with, you know. And so we kind of pulled back a bit. And then they got married. You know what they told us? They said, when can we go camping again? And so we got back into the camping again. And we do that annually every year. Just a one weekend a year that we spend as a family. The family kind of outings kinds of things, you know, where you involve the family and you do fun things together. And for us, some other things that we've done, we took our children on a number of mission projects like MDS, where we went out and worked for people and did repair kinds of things. School activities, when children are involved in the competition or the arts. I don't know how it is with you, but your children have different gifts and they become involved in different extracurricular activities, or maybe they're even the regular activities from school. And I know that, like at Terry Hill, was the Fine Arts Festival. And when the children were their youth were kind of encouraged to do something that they're good at, and it could be you know, all a variety of things. Well, we tried to be there. Try to be there and be involved in the activities of your children. Those kind of fun kind of outings kind of things. Make sure that you're involved. Make sure you're there. Our grandson, he plays baseball. Little 12-year-old playing hardball. So we try and get to his games once in a while. It doesn't happen often, but we try and get there and try and support him in his in what's exciting to him, the kind of things that he enjoys doing. And we started watching him when he was probably 5 or 6 years old, and oh my, you think you have to go out there and help him. But anyway, but just to be involved in the excitement and the kind of things that they're doing, and just be part of those kinds of activities. A servant leader takes the time to give his children practical instructions about life. Some time ago, we had a couple in our home. They either were just married, or I think I was doing the premarital kinds of stuff with them, and we usually have them over for lunch. Anyway, and he was sitting there, and he was just boy, put something on his plate. I mean, he was eating it, and all of a sudden, I just had to catch out of the corner of my eye. She goes. And he had his spoon about halfway to his mouth, and he stopped and he looked like this, and then he kind of relaxed. And the poor boy had never been taught proper etiquette, how to eat. It was a family where most of them, it was a fairly large family, and apparently they put the food on the table, and when they were done praying, I mean, everybody grabbed whatever they could, was close to them, and I mean, started chowing down. And the poor guy had to learn, how to sit at a table and how to pass the food. And, what I'm saying is teach your children proper etiquette and also how to do things. I got an email from my son just a couple months ago, or maybe back in the summer, I forget. And I was so touched. And he was working on doing some projects in a house he had bought, I think, or something. And he just emailed me and he said, "Dad, thanks for teaching me how to do electrical, how to do plumbing, how to do carpentry, all those kinds of things. Just the basics, basic 101, that's all. But just the basic kind of things in life. So that now when I have struggles, I have something that needs to be done, I have some kind of a clue as to how to do it." And there's just so many things for your wives to teach the children, teach the girls how to cook, how to wash dishes, how to clean the house, how to do, wash the clothes. My mother never told me how to put clothes into an automatic washer. I'd dump everything all at one time regardless of what colors they are, and I don't understand all that stuff. But if I'd have been taught, if someone would have taught me somewhere along the way, I could probably save me some trouble. But I'm just saying, teach your children. There's many things in life. There's just a lot of things you can teach them that they don't have to learn by experience, okay? My dad, he did some electrical kinds of stuff, and I know we did some carpentry kinds of stuff, and I picked it up off of him. And when I was farming the first 4 years of our married life, I was farming for 4 years, and I built changed the cow stable, built my own trusses, would you believe? I crawled up in the attic and measured the trusses that were the building I was attaching it to, and I made my own trusses. It was just amazing. I mean, I think back at what I did, I'm appalled. But someone taught me how to do some of those things, and I figured it out. And the basic things, just the very basic things in life. A servant leader manages the schedule of the home and anticipates any pressure points. In other words, we're aware of the busyness that we create in our lives and how that affects good, healthy interaction. As your children get older, you younger fellows, as your children get older, you're going to find out that one's going to be in soccer, and maybe one's going to be in basketball, and one's going to be in piano, okay? And they're all different schedules. And just for the servant leader to be aware of what all is happening at home, what all the requirements are, to bring some civility, okay? So that that we're aware of all the pressure points, of all the running we got to do, and try and organize in a way that it takes some of the pressure off. In other words, a servant leader is someone who's aware of all the pressure points that can occur in a family. A servant leader keeps his family financially sound and out of harmful debt. The number one cause of marital difficulties is financial stress. I don't think I need to tell you, but right now we are going through an economic, what I call a financial correction. And we needed this for a lot of years already. Whether you, I don't know if you agree with me or not, but we really did. And we were living in a false economy. Well, finally, the economy, I think, is at least somewhat more on a need basis. And we're not producing product that we don't need, okay, because people are very careful about how they spend money. Well, I'm saying a servant leader is one who keeps his family financially sound and out of harmful debt. In other words, keep a balance. I think right now, for the most part, what I'm hearing, if you want to buy a house today, you're going to have 20% down. Well, there was a time that the banks would finance you up to 125%. That's ridiculous. But it sold houses. It gave people work. There are lots of things happen. All of a sudden, we found out that the economy can change, and not 125%, we're probably at 175%. Upside down mortgages, but a spiritual leader, is one. A servant leader is one who's careful about how he invests, what kind of debt he allows himself to get into, and keeps a margin. So if there is a financial downturn or something, that there's some equity there. One of the things that I think, and I'll say this about probably more when I get to the finances, but one of the things that I think one of the most devastating lines is this line of credit, the equity on your house. You work so hard to build equity in your house, to pay it down, all right? So what does the bank do? They say, hey, we'll give you a loan. You can spend it for whatever you want to. On the difference between what you paid down and what the house is worth. And there's so many families that are upside down, and some people are going to lose their houses because of it. They say in 2011, there's going to be more foreclosures than even in 2010. A servant leader makes sure he and his wife have drawn up a will and arranges a well-conceived plan for the children in case of death. You know, I just say this from my dad. My mother and dad are both gone. But my dad sat down with my brother and I. I only have one brother, but he sat down with my brother and I and put the whole financial package together, estates and all that. And I was so thankful that after his death and after mother's death, there was nothing to argue over. There was nothing to really decide. It was all decided ahead of time. But my dad, and I remember it very well, when he signed the papers for the medical power of attorney, because what you're really signing is saying, you are in charge of my life. And I remember he stalled. And I said, Dad, you take your time. You take your time. And it was about a week or two later, he called and he said, yes, I'm ready to sign it. But there was a plan put in place. And as to how things will be carried out after I'm gone. And I'm saying a wife feels much more secure when she knows there's been time and energy put into that, and there's a plan as to how life is going to go on if the servant leader would happen to pay us on. A servant leader lets his wife and children into the interior of his life. Men, we tend to build walls around our lives, and we don't want our wives to get close to us. We don't want our wives to get close to our heart. Well, I'm going to say this, friends. You probably won't be any closer to God's heart than you allow your wife to get to your heart. You probably will not be any closer to God than what you allow your wife to get close to your heart. A servant leader honors his wife often in public. I think this is important. Offer a compliment to your wife when you are with others. And I said earlier about some of the ways she presents herself in public today. Well, one of the things that disturbs me, and I know I'm out of time, but bear with me this morning. But one thing that disturbs me, sitting in a parking lot, and here this couple comes, that's taking a standard, and they got about four children, and they get out of the car. He jumps out, starts walking in the store, and there the wife is back there trying to get all the children together, you know, get them all walking in one direction toward the store door, the storefront. You know what I'm saying? And he's about 20 or 30 steps ahead. Well, it just doesn't look like they compliment their wife very much, does it? And like he's in his world and she's in her world. And she has all the responsibility of the children and he just goes and does what he wants to. Brothers, our wives need to be complimented in public. Open the door for her. Tell her when you're in groups of other people, tell stories about your wife, you know, good stories about your wife. I mean, brag on her if you please, okay? She needs to hear that. And she needs to know that that's your heart for her. Did I have the, okay. A servant leader explains sex to each child in a way that gives a wholesome perspective. And I'm sorry, I think last year we had some books here for you to help you explain to your children the facts of life. And this is, brothers, I want to tell you something. This is so important. This is so important. I used to say still that we need to tell our children about sexuality by the age of 12. I don't say that anymore. They need to know it probably about the age of 5 or age of 6, age 7, early in life. Because the sexuality is so explicit in the world that we live. It's all over the billboards. It's all over the store doors. I mean, it is everywhere. Walking down the street. And our children need to know. They don't have to know everything. But they need to know something about the way God designed procreation. And there's books out there to help you explain to your children about their own sexuality. It seems it's younger, it's becoming younger and younger all the time that we have parents coming with children and they were sexually abused or they were, you know, by the neighbor child or by a grandpa or who knows. People that they trusted, and the children didn't know. They didn't know what was wrong. They didn't know what was happening. And in fact, I had a guy just last week. He went fishing with a neighbor boy. And he just said something happened. That's all he would say. He didn't want to talk about it. He didn't want to share about it, because it was ambivalent. You know what I mean about when I say ambivalent? It's something that's pleasurable, but yet it's dirty. Okay? Something that's beautiful, feels good, but yet there's something about it that's... And our children need to know that. They need to know why. A servant leader is one who explains sex to his children. A servant leader encourages his wife to grow as an individual. Sorry, I missed one here. from time to time, ask your wife, what would you like to do in life? For me, for us, I told you my wife does chalk drawing. Well, my wife had taken some classes. She had done some oils. She had done some pastels. And then we started talking about doing chalk drawing. Well, what did I do? I made her an easel. All right. I'm not much of a carpenter. All right. But anyway, I made her an easel. One that we can fold up, you know, take along with us and things like that. And I just did everything that I could to support her in that gift. My wife has a gift for art. And I want to bless her. And I want to encourage her. And I want to do everything that I can for her so that she can excel in the gift that God has given her. A servant leader encourages his wife to grow as an individual. So she went to get classes, took some classes from a friend, and then she took some other classes from another lady as to how to do chalk drawing and things like that, and just do everything you can to encourage her to grow in her gift and her interests. A servant leader takes the lead in establishing with his wife sound, biblical, supportable family values. What are your common values you and your wife hold together? Values about finances, values about God, values about debt, values about life in general, values about death. Do you talk about those kinds of things? Discover where your values are with your wife. And so you have common values, that you're on the same page together. 24, a servant leader joins a small group of men who are dedicated to improving their skills as a man, husband, and father. Well, I just want to say this, fellas. Men need men. Last night, I told you we were together as a group in prayer. And as we were praying, God convicted me. Glenn, here's a group of men that could pray for you for tomorrow morning. I'm speaking Thursday night and I'm speaking Sunday morning. They could pray for you for that. And I didn't ask them. I didn't tell them. And so after we were all done, I said, brothers, I missed a blessing tonight. Because I could have had you pray for me this morning. I could have had you pray for me for Thursday night. I could have had you pray for me on Sunday morning. You know what they did? They said, we'll pray for you right now. I was touched. Brothers, we need each other. We need men around us who can encourage us, who can support us, who can challenge us. Your coming out this morning is one of those things. Hallelujah, you're here. We need each other. Men, we need men in our lives in the journey. A servant leader provides time for his wife to pleasure her, to pursue her own personal interests. And that's a little bit like it was, I think, about 23. Invest in your wife's gifts. Invest in what her interests are and what she loves to do. It's time to quit. I apologize for being over. Okay, I'm sorry. I'm wrong for being over. I'll try not to do it again, all right? Thank you.
We'll forgive you this morning, Glenn. I think there's something in there that can challenge each one of us. And like Glenn said, don't try and do all 25 at once. You'll get frustrated. But just pick one or two of those things and just really work on that for the next month. You won't be sorry that you did. I failed to mention at the beginning that I'm still looking for sponsors for the refreshments each morning. So I appreciate everyone that's helped out with that. But if you would like to participate in that, just contact me afterward or before the next session. And I'd really appreciate that.